This is Leanne Schmadke interviewing Karen Dunlap at her home in Richfield Springs, New York on Monday, November 23, 2015 for the Cooperstown Graduate Program's Oral History Project, which is part of the Research and Fieldwork course. Can you tell me a little bit about where you grew up?
Yes, I grew up in Skenivis, New York, which is in Otsego County, and my parents moved there. So I was born in 1954, and my parents moved there when I was 4 months old from Duanesburg. Mm-hmm. And so then I spent all my growing up years in outside of Skenivis. And, well, want me to say more? We lived on a dairy farm, and I went to school in Andrew S. Draper Central School, which is right in Skenivis. We live 6 miles out of the village. And K through 12, very small school.
What was your schooling like?
Well, it was, like I said, a small school. So my graduating class was 32 people. And there were some kids in my class that I was with from kindergarten right through graduation that I knew all those years. And the teachers were the same for many years. So there was one first grade. No, actually, maybe two. It doesn't matter. At any rate, you know, like I said, very small school. And in high school, I had the same math teacher for 4 years and the same science teacher for 4 years, same social studies, same English, because those folks did 9 through 12 on their classes.
Did many people go to college afterwards?
I think a fair number did go to college, although I couldn't tell you the percentage. I'm going to guess half went to college, but I really am just guessing.
Yeah. Did you?
Yes. Yeah, I went to college. I applied to state schools. I have an older sister who had also went to Albany State. And we, although we both graduated at the top of our classes, we were encouraged to go on to college, but not to look at private schools at all for financial reasons, I think, or I don't know. I don't really know why, but it was just assumed we'd go to a state school. So, and I went to SUNY Binghamton.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did you study there?
I started in the nursing program, and my mom's a nurse, and I had applied to Plattsburgh and SUNY Binghamton, and then Oneonta, which doesn't have a nursing program, but it was sort of like a fallback position in case I didn't get accepted, but I was accepted every place. I started in nursing in my freshman year, but all my best friends were in liberal arts, and there was a friend of ours too, you know, not a great friend, but she was in the nursing program, and so I kind of foolishly wanted to distance myself from her and kind of be with my other friends. So I decided after my freshman year to transfer just to straight biology, which I really enjoyed, and that's what I did. So I graduated with a BA in biology, but with no idea what I was going to do with it.
So what happened after college?
So then I didn't have a plan. Like I said, my parents didn't push me to have a plan, which is a little weird. But so I moved back home and applied for whatever little jobs I could get. But I really didn't, like, I didn't want to do lab work. I didn't really have a plan. And my mom finally suggested I apply at the local hospital, Bassett Hospital in Cooperstown, to be a nurse's aide program, because they did training and you could work in the hospital, full-time work. I was living at home. And I did that and went through that training. So I was a nurse's aide. And it was good work for me. It was good. I mean, I was thinking of nursing anyway. So it was something to do. It made money. I could pay my parents something for rent or whatever. I don't remember what that arrangement was even. And finally, I moved out. I should say first, as a nurse's aide, I kind of grew up and eventually worked in the intensive care unit, which I really liked, and realized I could do more for the folks if I had more autonomy, if I became a nurse. So I finally did the external degree program, which in New York is now the Empire State Program, or whatever it's called, Empire Program, and I got my associate in nursing and could take the boards and be an RN. So I went to work. I was Friday, I was a nurse's aide, and then on Monday I went in as a nurse. So I still worked there, and they helped support me. They didn't really give me financial support, but I didn't actually need it. You know, I could just pay for the courses that I took, and that's what I did. So then I became an RN.
Okay.
Wow. Did you work as an RN long?
Yes. Well, let's see here. I started as an RN around 1980, maybe 81, and actually not that long. I was working full-time, but then when my daughter was born, she was born in 1984, January of 84, I stopped work for about 5 months. At that time, they had a pretty extensive maternity leave, and I had said that I'd come back to work 3 nights a week because I had worked nights. I liked working nights, and I worked nights most of my career. But then I decided I really wanted to be home more, so I only worked one night a week, and then our son was born 16 months later, and after that, I didn't work for about 10 years, so took a long break.
How did you meet John?
That's a good story. We, I was working as a nurse, and a good friend of mine, it was actually, I was probably a nurse, I was just about the time that I had taken my board, so I was working as a nurse, and a friend of mine was also a nurse on the floor where I worked, Liz, and she went to the Presbyterian Church and invited me to go Christmas caroling with the group from that church. It was a pretty small group, and that's something I'd always wanted to do. I had, by that time, I had I'd moved from home. I was having an apartment on my own in Cooperstown, a very small apartment. So I went to this event, and John was there because he also went to that church. He was a member of that church, and he was one of this little group of us who went Christmas caroling a little before Christmas. So we walked down from that Presbyterian church in Cooperstown, went to a couple homes, and then we walked to the Thanksgiving home and sang there. And he happened to stand right behind me, and I could tell from you know, little comments he made, I mean, that he had a good sense of humor and he had a lovely singing voice, and so that's how we met. Yeah.
What happened after that? Did you like hang out more?
He called me up for a date. So that's before Christmas. I think he called. Oh no, we didn't have a date, but the same friend again. There was a winter carnival in Cooperstown at the time. And the same friend was having a little group of friends at her house, and then we were all going to go to the Peppermill. There was a 50s dance, so you'd have to wear 50s type clothes. And John showed up with two women friends of his from Middletown, where he used to teach. And they had been staying with him at his house as house guests, but he brought those two women to this dance. And actually, we met at Liz's house first, or her apartment first. And then we all went to the dance, and they were all women except for John, so he took turns dancing with each person. But he danced a slow dance with me, so that was nice. And after that, he called me up for a date. So he actually called to see if I wanted to go tubing. And I don't know if you know what tubing, but at Glimmer Glass State Park, they built this tubing slide. And I was working days at the time on OB. I would think I must have been getting ready for taking my board, so they let me work on the OBG floor. And I remember getting changed. I didn't really have snow clothes, but I got ready to go out. I was excited to go. And then when he pulled up in his truck, he said that turns out they're closed. He picked me up at 4, and they closed like by 4. But we went out to dinner anyway.
Oh.
I think we went to the pit. So we had a date, but we didn't go tubing. So, and after that, we had other dates, and eventually, you know, although we did break up a couple times too, but eventually, and eventually we got married. So, yeah.
What was your wedding like?
That was very nice. That was at the Presbyterian Church. So I was raised Catholic, and all this time I had been attending the St. Mary's Church in Cooperstown, and because I was a pretty devout Catholic, I went to Mass every Sunday, but while I was with John, and after we were really dating seriously, I would go to church with him. So I would go to Mass on Saturday afternoon or evening, and then I would go to church with him on Sunday morning, and they were very welcoming, very, really great family-oriented, very nice church, at any rate. So when we decided to get married, we were married in the Presbyterian Church because John was married before. He had been married for 4 years to a woman when he lived in, I think they got married in Singapore, but he met her in Laos when he was working over there. And that marriage only lasted 4 years, and I never knew her. But in the Catholic faith, if you can't marry someone who's been divorced. So we decided to get married in the Presbyterian Church, and so that's what we did. And we both like things more simple, you know, not spending a lot of money and all that. Like some people will spend $10,000 on their wedding and all that kind of thing. So I made my own dress. My mom and I went looking for material and patterns and stuff. And we, you know, had a square neck, long dress, but short sleeves, white. We had got married in August 20th, 1983. So we, my mom and I went looking, because we both sewed. And so I made my dress. First I made it with a sheet pattern to make sure it fit, and then I used regular, you know, the cloth, you know, that I wanted to use. It was white eyelet, and my mom helped make the bridesmaid dresses, so she made most of them, I think. And we got married at the church. So it was at 7 o'clock in August. It was a very hot day. But since I was working as a nurse at Bassett, I could use Bassett Hall as a reception hall. And I had four friends who I worked in the ICU with, and I was talking to them about trying to find a caterer for the reception. And well, one of my friends said, gee, I'd always like to do something like that. So they put on the reception. We went shopping and to get the food, and I made food for it or helped get things ready. You know, a buffet, you know, vegetables and some hot dishes. And we both were not that keen on wedding cake, so we made homemade pies. So I was making, the day we got married, I was making two pies in the morning for dessert. Although one of my other friends, of these four friends, it was Charlene and Sue and Mary and Gail. Mary thought we had to have wedding cake, so she bought a small wedding cake for us, and it was on the table with all the gifts, but we didn't cut it that night. We took it to my parents the next day and had a party for just family at my parents the next day. So that didn't tell you too much more about the reception than the wedding, but it was very nice. But I should say, this is a little, I wasn't sure if I wanted to get married because of our difference in age, mostly, because it was a 14-year difference in age. But I got pregnant with Sarah, our daughter, so not knowing. But it was, I mean, this is probably too personal for this, I don't know. But that settled it for me. I was thinking, gosh, should we get married or not? Should we get married or not? And I was just happy when we got, you know, not worried or anything. I was just happy when I got pregnant. And so was John. And so we got married. We didn't tell anybody except our parents, my mom and dad, and his dad had passed away, so he told his mom, or I told her, we told her ahead of time, but we didn't really tell anybody else, except for the minister. They knew too, before we got married. Because so I was, when I got married, I was 4 months pregnant, I think, three or four months pregnant. So it became obvious soon after our honeymoon, but at any rate, I don't know why I brought this up. I can't remember it. It's just, well, I remember it because when I was talking about making the food for the reception, I was having a little morning sickness, but I didn't really want to tell my friends. And they were terrific when I did tell them. After we came back from our honeymoon, that's when I told the friends in the ICU. I was careful at work because, you know, sometimes at work, you'd have to, let's say they were doing an x-ray for someone, you had to get out of there or take care of a patient, and I was well aware of what I needed to do. So I would have said something ahead of time if I needed to at work, but I really didn't have to. It worked out all right. But it's just, oh, I know what I was going to say. I wouldn't advise that as the best way to go into a marriage, but it was just right for me. It worked for me. And in fact, before Sarah was born, I kind of bemoaned the fact that we weren't going to be together just on our own longer, you know? But it was a great thing to have her. I think that it was great. And John thought so too.
How did your parents feel about the wedding?
My mom was a little upset that he was so much older than I was. I don't know if the fact that he wasn't Catholic made too much difference, but the difference in age really bothered her. It was a little rough, but she was supportive, you know, when I had, that was before she knew that I was pregnant. But then when I finally got up the nerve to tell her, that she was quite distressed about that. But she was, she was happy for me, and she knew that I was happy. And she was afraid that I might my brother told me years later, she was afraid that I'd be hurt, you know, by John or her or something. You know, she just wanted me to be safe and happy and all that. And she wasn't convinced that John was the one. But, he was, and that was it was okay. So she, they were, and at the time, I have a younger sister, Marie, 4 years younger than I am. She married a man older than my dad. She married a guy who was 35 or 36 years older than she was, which is extreme. And my parents were very much against that, although they did go to the wedding. And they, at first they said they weren't even going to go. But they did go. We, in fact, John and I went to that wedding too. And they were married for 26 years or something, and he passed away when he was 83. He was, you know, older, of course, than Marie. At any rate, I think that might have figured into my mom's. She's worried about Marie, and now here I am marrying someone else who's quite a bit older. I don't know, at any rate. So,
what was it like being a parent?
That was exciting. I had my older sister had one son by then, and breastfed, etc. So she gave me a lot of tips. And I was, since I had worked on OB, I had helped with the little babies a little bit. And I was very keen to be a mom. When I was little, and I remember, like, you know how when you're 10 years old, and they say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wanted to be a mom. That was my goal in life. So I was very happy. And she was a great baby. You know, I mean, she was up at night. And, you know, but we were both so excited to have her. And we, I mean, I had parenting books that my friends gave me or that I read, and it was, you know, I felt that we could figure out, and we were both mature adults by then, so it was a learning curve, of course, with any little kid, but we liked it, and it worked, and it was great with our son, too. You know, he was even easier in some ways, and...
How?
Well, as a little kid, he was more outgoing and not as shy as Sarah was. More, you know, socially apt, if you want to say. Is that a word? Apt? Inept? I don't know if apt's a word. But at any rate, so he was easier as a little kid. And they were only 16 months apart, which is pretty close. But when we had Sarah, I was almost 30, and John was 44 or 43, so that's older. And then I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to have another child because I was a little older. So actually, we conceived him sooner than I expected, you know, just right away. I had always thought I wanted four kids, but after we had two and they were that close together, I thought this is great. So anyway, so it worked out well. Yeah, and I could stay home with them, which was nice, and John was working full-time, and I could be supportive of him and then take care of the kids, so I was happy with that lifestyle. Yeah.
What was it like raising them in this area?
I thought it was terrific, because we lived in the country, and I think the school system is great. Our church was very supportive. We had always been going to the same Presbyterian church, and there was church school and nursery care, and, you know, felt like we had plenty of support. And we liked doing things outside with them, like gardening or hiking or walking or letting them play outside. They made tree forts eventually, and it's a beautiful area. So I thought it was a safe area, and of course I grew up in this county, so I was used to it. And for me, Cooperstown was a bigger school; it was much bigger than Skenivas. So we liked raising them here. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about moving your family to Mexico?
Yes. John had worked abroad as a teacher of English as a foreign language. And he talked from when we had little kids, when they were born, of going somewhere with. And he talked about it so much, he was really anxious to do it. And I thought that something he really needed to do, and I wanted to support him in that. And I didn't want to put it off. It was complicated by the fact that when we went, my mom had been diagnosed with really a terminal illness. She had pulmonary fibrosis and of unknown origin. But he was so keen. I was, you know, I don't want to say I'm nervous for his health, but it was something he really wanted to do. So he was looking for a job, and he went to a conference in Baltimore and looked to see what they had, all this stuff, and found a job in Mexico. He had possibility of going to Korea too, but that was too far away for me. So he found this little job in Mexico. He flew down there, had an interview, flew back, And then we decided to go. So we did, and I thought, well, my parents are in Florida for all winter anyway. We'd be able to come back if we needed to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I rationalized that, and we went. So it was, I was nervous about it, but he was very confident. And the kids were small. They were ready for an adventure. So, you know, so they were, I mean, they were sad, too. I think Sarah was sad to leave her classmates and stuff. But it was sort of, this is what we're doing. So we did.
How did life change down there?
For our family? We kept some of the same traditions that we always, like I make my own bread, all my own bread, so I continued doing that down there. And it was hard at first because we found a place to stay that was just a boarding place, and we were looking for our own apartment. When we got into our own apartment, it was easier. And it only took several weeks. It wasn't that bad. And set it up. The school system was very different. There were so many children there that the school building had two schools, morning school and afternoon school. And our kids went to afternoon school from 1 until about 5. So I would walk them to school. It was a walking distance of our house. So I would walk them to school and then at noontime or whatever, and then we'd pick them up afterwards. Sometimes I would walk, well, different ways, but we would go pick them up. Sometimes I'd meet John first and we'd come and get them. Sometimes we would walk over to the school, to John's school where he was teaching, and then we'd all go in the car and go home. So it was very different for me. I mean, I had to learn Spanish. The kids had to learn Spanish. John was trying to learn a little Spanish, didn't work too well because he's teaching English. And his first job was not a very good job. It was sort of a language mill. And he, after one semester there, he actually found a much better job at the university in Monterey. And it was a huge city. It was 3 million people at the time, which is very different for us because I was never in an urban environment except when I was in college. And I always lived in a dorm. So that was different, the traffic, the people. And it was months before I learned to drive there. I mean, I could drive, but I didn't dare drive. Finally, I got over that and was driving, too. So it was different on lots of, you know, scales. The other thing bad about it was that, of course, we didn't have a phone, and that's before cell phones. So it was harder for me to be in touch with my folks, and that was turned out to be not good at all. But it was, you know, one of those things I would go back and change. If I could, I would have found an apartment with a phone. So, because they couldn't reach me. They couldn't easily reach me. So that was bad.
Where did you live in Mexico? You mentioned Monterey, but...
Yeah, well, in Monterey City, that is in northeastern Mexico. It's a state called Laredo. No, sorry. Nuevo León. Laredo is another city that we went through on our way there, a border town. So Nuevo León, so Monterey is about an hour and a half to 2 hours from the border. And we were in just a small, they call them colonias, little neighborhoods, kind of lower middle class. Our good friends, the next door neighbors, he worked for Pemex, which is the oil company down there. And he was always fixing his car at night, being under there. You know, they were making it, but, you know, not really rich, let's put it that way. Up above, the way they have the neighborhoods, then there's hillsides, and up above us was a part that would be more called favela, it's the kind of the slum area, which was where they didn't have city electricity. They would, you know, rig up electric from the fire, you know, and had dirt roads, and so that was quite close to us, just a few streets away and up the hill. And Mexico, Monterey was like that. Some very wealthy neighborhoods, and then on the outskirts, you know, folks who had very little. So we would routinely see beggars on the street, some street corners, things like that, which we weren't used to here. And we went to church there too. First, it was a non-denominational church, which they were kind of fundamentalists and friendly folks, but we didn't really want to stay there. So then we found, we wanted English-speaking services, and we looked in the phone book. There were only three. Catholic in this one, and then one more which was Protestant, Episcopalian, but the folks were great there, although there were some folks in that church much more wealthy. And the fellow who was the minister was, who was a pastor, he was the chief financial officer for Alpha Company in Mexico, which is one of the biggest companies in Mexico. And he had a lovely house, and they had some servants and gardeners, this and that. Very hospitable people, though. So he wanted to become a minister and felt that calling, and you know, went to seminary and took on the just the Holy Family Church, very small English speaking church. But he wasn't paid for that. You know, it was sort of like a sideline for him, but it was great. And so they hosted a Bible study at Wednesday nights at their house, and so we would go to that. And so that was all English speaking, but otherwise, the kids were in the school, they spoke Spanish, and I spoke Spanish if I went to the grocery store, or tried to, I should say. So, yeah.
So why is marriage so important?
So that's what kind of the city was like. We would drive to these various spots, and we had a big map of Monterey, and map our way, like to go to a post office to pick up a or UPS for a parcel. I mean, that was a big drive to go to a different place, and then go to the library. There was one library we found with English books, and we had to drive quite a ways to get to there.
How long were you there?
We were there a year and a half. We were supposed to be there a year. We signed up for a year, but when John found his new job, that was for a year, and so we decided to stay until June of 94, and that's when we came back.
What did your kids think of it?
I think our son loved it. He played soccer with the other kids in the street and was, like I said, socially friendly. He'd get right out there. He had a remote-controlled car, so right away he brought that out and was playing, and other kids gathered around. And so he learned Spanish pretty quickly, and he was in second grade, the second half of second grade. Our daughter had a little harder time, so I don't think she was thrilled with it. She looks back on it a little more favorably, but it was hard for her because she's more shy. And couldn't play soccer and stuff. And when we, I don't know if I already told you this before, but when we were first there, everybody wanted to see these gringos moving in, you know, because we were in a neighborhood of all Mexican people. And the little kids would come around and be on the step, and so we invited some in to play, and they kind of, or just to visit, I don't know. But they took, somebody took Sarah's, she had either a set of markers or colored pencils or something. And so she was sure they stole them, and she was not happy. So she wasn't keen on having any more kids come to the house. And while we were there, there was a woman who and her husband who were missionaries there, planting, it's like Pentecostal churches. It was a very Catholic neighborhood. But they came knocking, when they heard about these people who spoke English down the street, and they lived some blocks away. So they came and said hello. We got to be friends with them. And other folks through them. So we had friends who spoke English who were from the U.S., and we had friends who were Mexican, too.
So. Do you keep in touch with anyone?
No, I feel bad about that. Not anybody. I mean, we did for a while, but it kind of fell off. And I have to say that's the same for me with some of my college friends. I haven't been good about following up with that kind of thing. So we were just talking the other day because the daughter of the principal of the school, the daughter's name is Annalise, and she was our son's best friend when we were there. And later on, both our kids went to visit in Mexico and stayed with them. And we went back to visit and stayed with them. And Annalise came up here with a different friend and stayed with us some years after, like 96 perhaps. And Annalise's on Facebook now. I've seen her, some of her stuff. So we could get back in touch, and we were talking about doing that because it would be good. I feel a little badly at that time it was so close and important for us. But over time, you know, other life things intervened, and we've let it go. I've let it go. Because I'm the correspondent in our family. John will call folks and things like that, but he's not a letter writer.
Did you travel anywhere else with your children?
No, not well. Let's see here. We drove across the country a couple times in going to Mexico or coming back, and going back to visit and coming back. And We did travel just a little bit. We went to Canada a couple times with some Dunlap reunions on my husband's side. His mom sponsored these reunions to get together every year, every couple of years with him and his siblings and their kids. So that took us like to